This is the Church of God of Carmichael Sunday Morning Gospel Podcast.
Exodus chapter 5. Are you free this morning? Amen. Well, you're free if you are free in Christ. There's a play that's very famous. And I'll get it wrong. Whether it's the play that you're not supposed to mention the title of, or if it's another. But there's a line that says, to be or not to be. That is the question. Something like that. My question this morning is, free or not free? That is the question. Exodus chapter 5, first five verses. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journeys into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." And the king of Egypt said unto them, "Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto their burdens. Get you unto your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and ye make them rest from their burdens." So we know this is the beginning of the encounter between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh regarding God's commandment that Pharaoh let the people of Israel go from the bondage of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron were qualified by God to meet with Pharaoh and command him that they let Israel, that he let Israel go. And that's the beginning of what we're reading here. The people of Israel were in bondage. They were in bondage in Egypt. Egypt in the Bible is a type of sin. And therefore Israel was, as God's people, in a type of bondage that we would find in the New Testament, and that is the bondage of sin. They were in the literal bondage of slavery, but the spiritual Egypt today for any man, woman, boy, and girl is the bondage that sin creates. And God's commandment and his desire is that his people would still be free. In Israel, his commandment and his desire was that they would be free from the bondage of slavery in Egypt. Today, his commandment is that each of us would be free from the bondage of sin. And so we ask ourselves at the beginning of the year once again, as we look forward to hopefully a good year in the Lord, are we free? And that's the subject that we'll have this morning. Lord, we're grateful for, once again, the opportunity to gather together. We appreciate the liberty that we have in Christ. And Father, the opportunity that we have every day to choose God, Lord, and to receive the grace that you offer, Father, for every trial. Grateful for that anchor which still holds, that in spite of the fact that life may batter our sails or our boat, that God, our anchor, still holds us fast to Christ Jesus. And Father, therefore, the physical man perishes day by day, but our prayer is the spiritual man would be renewed also day by day. Have your way of the rest of our service. Lord, it's a special time this morning, so we pray that you bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for standing. Most of us are back from vacation in different places and ready to begin the rest of our year here together, so we invite you to enter in and worship with us. Bring your hearts and minds in the service this morning. Let the Lord have his way. We want to focus once again. We started the last couple of services with the thought of what we hope to accomplish this year. And among other things, we discussed the fact that we'd like to go deeper in the Word of God in faith. And another one that we presented to you the other night was we would like to increase the strength of our community, both within the congregation and relative to our connection outside the congregation. Those two things. And thinking about them this morning, one of the things that both strengthens a community and also helps us to go deeper in the Word of God is how we identify ourselves in our freedom in Christ. And I'll explain what I mean by that. Many people have perhaps different ideas about their identity, both Christian and non-Christian. And we want to carefully consider this morning and tonight, how do we identify ourselves as free people? How do we identify ourselves? What really is the basis of our freedom? Now, a lot of times this is the kind of message that you hear around the 4th of July. So I thought I would just move it up about six, seven months, and talk about it in January. It's a better way to start the year, I think, to consider our freedom. It will help us identify ourselves, find ourselves in the place that the Bible would have us to be. And really, whether or not we're proceeding every day with the kind of freedom that God has for us. Let's go back to the text that we started with in Exodus. As I said, Moses and Aaron were commissioned by God to tell Pharaoh that he had to set Israel free, that they had to leave that place in Egypt. And today it is a kind of spiritual bondage, and the Lord wants us to be able to leave that kind of spiritual bondage. If we're in sin, he wants us to be able to leave that land and find ourselves in a land of his choosing, which is not the land that we started from. Let's go to Revelation chapter 11. There's different, I'd like to talk about two kinds of freedom this morning. There is a freedom in Christ, and there is a freedom from Christ. Now you may say, brother, that can't be. That can't be. You can't have a freedom from Christ. Well, you'll have to pay attention to what the Apostle Paul says. That's why I said, let's find ourselves deeper in the Word of God this year. Let's find ourselves biblically in the Word of God. Many times we construct opinions about things that we've heard, and we start to create a Word of God, which is not entirely biblical. It's mixed with opinion. Let's see what the Lord has to say about two kinds of freedom. If you're going to be free, you have to know whether or not you're in bondage. Many times as we start life and we get to the place where I like to say our brain turns on, when you're a child, your brain doesn't have to be on. Mom and Dad think for you. They take care of you. They provide for you. They put a roof over your head. They keep danger from you. Your job is just to have fun. When you're a child, that's what life is all about. It's just, I want to be happy. But there comes a time in an adolescent's life, usually, sometimes later nowadays, when a person leaves childhood and enters into adulthood, and that transition, I like to say, is the light's coming on, your brain is turning on. Well, it's during that time, spiritually, that each person needs to find themselves spiritually where they're located. Because unless we know that we're in the bondage of sin, we can never truly be free. Many times we might think that we're free. But if we are yet in the bondage of sin, we're actually in the Egypt that Moses was trying to get out of. There were some, I think, in Israel that found themselves in Egypt. And even later, when they had escaped into the wilderness, they would turn to Moses and they would say, "It was better back there than it is here." So not everyone can see themselves in bondage. Sometimes people think that the bondage of sin is better than the freedom in Christ. And they might say, "I'd like to go back to that. I'd rather go back to that because that way of living was better for me." Well, there's different kinds of bondage and there's different kinds of freedom. You might say, "I'm free in Christ." But if your heart doesn't enjoy this way of life, if your heart is not given to praise for the one who delivers us from sin, then you are not truly free in Christ. And it is a kind of Christian bondage that people find themselves in. And when that happens, you begin to associate your freedom with all kinds of things that are not truly freedom. You might associate freedom with church and coming to a place where there's a worship service and where people do things a certain way. And you might say, "That is what I am told is my freedom." But if your freedom is not truly in Christ, that will become a bondage to you. Because your heart's desire is to find freedom. I believe God has designed us in such a way that he says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to go. Right? And our treasure is where truly our freedom is. Now, your freedom can either be in Christ or it can be from Christ. But it will be defined by the motive of your heart. Humans are designed to go where their desire will take them. And the desire is designed to take you where your freedom is. It's just that there's one kind of freedom that lends to bondage, which is a complicated word for that. It means it doesn't make any sense. That kind of freedom that would lead to bondage. But that's what the Bible says. There is a kind of freedom that leads to bondage. But then there's another kind of freedom that he says will make you truly free. And that's why he says in that verse, if you choose that kind of freedom, you will be free indeed. Because freedom indeed is not a fake freedom. And it does not lead to bondage. But there is another freedom that you are free to choose, which will lead to bondage and take you back into Egypt. So the first thing that we need to know is, are we in bondage? And in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 8, there's a witness to this. Okay. Let me make sure I'm in the right spot. Okay. We can get there from here. I'm not quite sure it's exactly where I wanted to be, but we can get there from here. Verse 8, let's read it. The prophet saw a vision. In this chapter, in this part of the apocalypse, he saw a vision of two witnesses. And in this part of the vision, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city. Yes, this is where I want to be. Which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Now spiritually, he calls this great city Sodom and Egypt, where the Word and the Spirit were found dead. In other words, they had no power in that great city. Their power was as it were when a person is dead. When a person is dead, they have no more power in this life. And in this vision, he saw this symbol of the Word and the Spirit lying dead in a city called Sodom in Egypt. So the Word and the Spirit in Egypt does not have the power that God desires to liberate, to free men and women from sin. Now, the Word and the Spirit can operate in Egypt to get men and women out of sin. But the Word and the Spirit has no authority, it has no respect by the spirit that operates in Sodom and Egypt. So Egypt is a type of place where people are held captive and that the Word and the Spirit are not honored, as if they are dead. So the first thing to understand this morning is we need to know where we are spiritually, whether we are truly free or whether we are in bondage this morning. To be free, one has to admit one is not free first. And if we are not free, then we have to understand, am I a prisoner? And if I am a prisoner of what? Okay? Isaiah chapter 4. So beginning this morning to discuss freedom and two types of freedom, we need to understand first, am I free? Because if you believe that you are free, but you are not truly free, then you are not going to be able to benefit from the kind of freedom in Christ that God has for you. So sooner or later, we must see that there is a bondage, and the bondage is sin. Okay. All right. Let me read it to you, because I'm at Isaiah chapter 4, and that's not where I want to be. I apologize. Let me read the verse to you that I wanted to read. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. If you find it, you let me know. 42:6. There you go. Let's all read it together. I left off at 2. I apologize. 42:6. I'd like to read what the Lord is trying to tell us about freedom. Isaiah 42:6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I'll hold thy hand. I will keep thee, give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. I, the Lord, will open the blind eyes to bring out the prisoner. Now look, I'll open blind eyes and I'll bring prisoners out of the prison. That's a spiritual statement. That's not a literal statement. God is not talking about opening doors in all the prisons of the world. He's talking about opening a spiritual prison and freeing people from that prison. And give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. I will open blind eyes, bring out prisoners from the prison, them that sit in darkness out of the prison houses. And that was a promise that God gave Israel, that he would work through them to be a light to the Gentiles. But lest you think that it's only through Israel that this covenant is given to us, we can go to Luke chapter 4. Because Jesus also quotes prophecy. And this I have in Luke 4, verse 18. We'll get there together this morning. When he first begins preaching in Nazareth, in verse 18 in chapter 4, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to who? To the captives, recovering of the sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are blessed, to preach the acceptable of the year. He's basically quoting from the passage in Isaiah that we just read, and he's saying, it's not only through Israel that God is working, but now God is working through the Messiah of Israel, and not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles as well, in other words, to all nations, that the promise is now fulfilled in Jesus. And you can find Isaiah in what he's quoting here. And he's saying that I am come to preach deliverance to the captives. That lets me know that sooner or later, all of us, we need to find ourselves as a captive at one point in our life. We need to be identified as a captive, as a prisoner at one point in our life in order for us to be free. Now, if you can't think back to the time when you actually knew you were a captive to sin, if you can't think back to that time, if you say, you know, I think I've always loved the Lord, and I just woke up one morning and I realized that I needed to be in Sunday school, and God would, and from then on, I just loved the Lord. You're missing a step. We said we'd like to go deeper into the Word of God this year. Not taking anything away from God's power to save or God's desire that we might know Him, not taking anything at all away from that. Not taking anything away from the fact that God can make Himself known to a child or an adult. Not taking anything away from, at some point we need to know I am a captive to sin. There was a time in my life when I was a captive to sin. I was in the prison house of sin. Unless we know we are a captive to sin, we cannot be free. What does freedom mean to anybody who's never been a captive? See, this is one of the problems with the world today. People are claiming freedom. They're identifying themselves as free, but really never having a comprehension of what it means to be captive. And therefore, freedom takes on a different definition today. When you travel and you go places in the world where politically and otherwise people are not truly free, you appreciate it when you come home. And at least you have a measure of freedom. And I'm speaking in a political sense, but even there we're going to find ourselves different from that. But I'm telling you, when you spend some time away from this country, and you come back to a place where, and it doesn't have to be this country as well, it could be any place on earth where you have a measure of civil liberty. And when you visit a place or you find yourself living in a place where that civil liberty is taken from the people, you really appreciate it when you come back to a place where freedom has a meaning. And today people are confusing the source of freedom and the identity in freedom. And freedom is changing. It's changing what it means to people, even in a spiritual sense. Until you understand that there is a bondage of sin, you can never be truly free. Now, this is not my opinion. This is what the Lord says. And that's why Jesus is saying that he was come to preach the gospel to the poor. And he wasn't speaking just about people that didn't have any money. He was also talking about people that had a poverty of spirit that was caused by the one who takes our wealth from us. And he was saying he was sent to come preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. And the captives were not simply the people of Israel that were held captive by the Romans. We know that Jesus had a much bigger vision than that. But it was held captive by whatever separates us from God. And there has to be a time in our lives when we know I am separated from God by my sin, by my rebellion, by my disobedience, by my vacancy, by my absence from God, from my own way. And we'll get into something else that separates us. has to be a time when we see ourselves in that way. You can't simply come to church and say, that felt good, I felt clean, I leave, I'm all okay. But I go back into the captivity that holds me from God. That's a false freedom. That's a freedom that leads to bondage. God has something better for us. Now, I told you later, and I'm not going there because there are several verses that witness to this. Paul would describe himself as a prisoner also. But he wasn't talking about his identity as a prisoner in a jail. He identified himself as a prisoner of Christ. He also uses the word as a servant of Christ, but in the original Greek, that word literally means slave. He identified himself in a relationship with Christ where he was completely within the control of Christ. And so in that relationship, he called himself a slave of Christ. And in that relationship, he identified himself as held captive by Christ, as a prisoner of Christ. So now you begin to see that God looks at freedom somewhat differently than people do. We're held captive in this life by one of two masters, either the Lord God or Satan. And Satan is Antichrist. So those two things that you can see the same. Satan is the spirit of Antichrist, of opposite Christ, or we are held captive by Jesus. One of those two masters holds each one of us this morning. And it creates a freedom to do something. One of those two masters creates a freedom to do one thing or the other. The question is, what's the nature of the freedom under each of those masters? The type of Egypt is a freedom. It's a freedom from God. And that freedom lends to bondage. It's a freedom because ultimately freedom is choice. Freedom is ultimately the ability to choose one way or the other. That ultimately is freedom. So we are, because Paul said, I'm in a type of bondage myself. And ordinarily we would say, well, that's not freedom. That's the opposite of freedom. But who would say that Paul's relationship with Christ was anything but free? Right? So we begin to see freedom. We were changing our thinking a little bit about freedom this morning. Freedom really is the ability to choose. And then the question is, which way shall you choose? Shall I choose to serve the master, which is Antichrist, or shall I choose to serve the master, which is Christ? Amen. Let's speak about the one where we choose to serve Jesus, freedom in Christ. He preaches deliverance to the captives. And they're captive of what? They're captive of sin. That's what the deliverance is from. What is sin? And so he's speaking, we're delivered from that. And let's find ourselves in that kind of deliverance this morning. That's where we want to be. That kind of freedom. Let's find ourselves there. Let's talk about that and see if we're there, okay? Jesus preaches deliverance from that captivity of sin. And I thought about, okay, sin is a word that the world doesn't really use that much anymore. It's kind of an old-fashioned word to many people. It's a religious word. It's religious jargon. It doesn't make a lot of sense to people. Captive to selfishness. Self. Jesus preaches deliverance from self. Now there's a way that he does that. Captive to hatred. Being captive, being held captive to hatred. Jesus preaches deliverance from being held captive to hatred. And so now we're trying to find ourselves, are we delivered from these things this morning? Because this is the kind of freedom that Christianity promises, free from hatred. Captive to bigotry. That's a word which is used a lot today. but it has a meaning. Bigotry is the elevation of self over another. That it's a judgment that I make that you are less than me and I am greater than you. God provides freedom from that, deliverance from that. There's a captivity in that. A captivity on unkindness. Unkindness. See, I wonder sometimes if a person that would say, I am free and I'm free indeed, but yet we find ourselves at times behaving in unkind ways. Don't pass this off and say, well, I thank God that I serve God with all that I have, and thank God I'm not like that publican over there. Now, careful. Careful. God frees us from unkindness. God frees us from unkindness at home, from unkindness at work, from unkindness out in the world. God frees us from not being kind to people. As we begin 2020, amen, is kindness describing who we are, even here? Is there anybody that you can't look in the face here and say, I love you, brother, I love you, sister? Is there anybody that you can't? I think before you leave the building, you need to go to that person and say, forgive me. I've had an attitude. I want to be clear. I desire to be truly free. I don't want to be held by any bondage. Now, don't just say, no, brother, I'm all good. Think about it. Is there anybody, anyone, that you have an attitude against, that you know that's not Christ-like? That tends to bondage. Christ is meant to free us from that. Christ frees us from the captivity of not being merciful. Mercy. Have we withheld mercy from anyone that deserves mercy? We were given mercy when we weren't worthy. And yet we're in the captivity of Egypt. And in the captivity of Egypt in the spiritual place, it's a very hard place. It's an unkind place. And we were given mercy. God had mercy on us. When we were yet unkind and unlovely, God had mercy on us. And what can we do now, amen, to not have mercy on another? Brother, they deserve what they got. Mercy. Are we free? Are we free? Are we free indeed, or are we? Do we have a kind of freedom which we have identified maybe not in a biblical way? God gives us freedom from that. God gives us freedom. He gives us freedom from the captivity of being unforgiving. Unforgiving. Brother, I can forgive people from a lot of things, but you know, they have knowledge of what they're doing, and you know, I just can't forgive them. You know, forgiveness is a funny thing. People confuse accountability with forgiveness. I think accountability has much more to do with what you believe in your heart about a situation of another. Forgiveness has much more to do with how you relate to the other, what you do to the other, how you talk to the other, how you receive the other. The accountability portion is you don't let yourself go to a condition which is not right. But see, people mix up accountability and forgiveness. You know, I've done something, I'm living in some way which the Lord could not approve of. The brother knows it. And I'm asking him to accept that condition which I'm living in. The brother has the duty and the obligation to keep his heart clear before God. he doesn't have a duty to accept this condition that I'm living in, which, as far as the Lord shows him, God cannot approve of. So he doesn't have to condone what I'm doing or way I'm thinking. But that's something he holds in his heart, you see. But now, let's say he it might even risen to the level where I've offended him, or I've done something that requires us to now work it out. Forgiveness now is something else. Forgiveness is something else. God forgave us, even as we so-called have put Jesus on the cross. Is there any crime worse than that? We put the Son of God on the cross by the sin that we committed. And yet God forgave us. Is there anything in this life that's worse than that? And I would argue, no, there's not. And so then I would say, brother, then there is nothing that you should not be able to forgive me of. And I should not be able to forgive you of. Now, whether or not he participates in that activity, that action, that thought, that's something he holds. He has to keep himself clear. But now he can't walk, he can't say, brother, until you get this straight, until you get this straightened out, then you stay away from me. Don't you talk to me. Don't you come near me. I can't have anything to do with you. In so many words. Brother, you have the plague of sin about you. Stay away. Something. See, that is not going to leave that brother free. People mixing up accountability and forgiveness all the time. In a certain sense, forgiveness is unconditional. Once you put conditions on forgiveness, it is not forgiveness. Once you put strings on forgiveness, well, if you do this and well, if you do that, then I'll forgive you. That's not forgiveness. It might be closer to accountability. I will continue to hold you accountable. You are responsible for the thing that you've done. I'm going to hold you accountable so that I too can be clear in this relationship. But I forgive you. When you forgive a person, it changes the way you deal with people. Jesus held those that put him on the cross accountable. He could not do otherwise because the Word of God must hold them accountable. Sin must be held accountable, or everything changes. But by the same token, he said, Father, he didn't say, Father, hold them accountable. Because the Word of God cannot do anything but hold us accountable. It cannot change. But forgiveness is a choice. That's why ultimately forgiveness is part of the essence of freedom. Because I choose to forgive. And so Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They're held accountable by the Word of God, but please forgive them. You have to think about it. Are we truly free? We're truly free if we are free in Christ. Free from unforgiveness. We're all also free from the captivity of meaninglessness, which the Bible calls vanity. When God saves us, he frees us from vanity. Frees us from meaninglessness. Now we have meaning. And there's a reason for that we'll get to. He frees us from hopelessness. He frees us from bitterness. He frees us from self-destructive ways. He frees us from anything that's contrary to the law of Christ when we are truly free. And the reason is we are free in Christ. In Christ. We're not free from Christ. We're free in Christ. To be in Christ, I thought about it this morning. You can't hardly illustrate it. Stand up, brother. We have a relationship, and it's of a certain nature, and no matter how close we are, there's always kind of a distance. I'm in my flesh, he's in his. I'm in my head, he's in his. We're close, but there's always going to be this separation, you know what I mean? But when we're in Christ, can you imagine me sort of now getting inside of him? Closer? Can you imagine two becoming one? Just kind of merging together? And I'm getting into him. And now every day that I live, Christ is in me and I'm in him. Can you imagine the freedom in that? Right? As opposed to, I know Jesus. Thank you. It's like the, what was it? The spirit that the seven sons of Sceva were trying to cast out of the man who was possessed. And they were trying to exercise the spirit, if I have the stories close to right. And trying to cast that spirit out. And the spirit, he said, Jesus I know. And Paul I know, but who are you? Because those that were trying to exercise that spirit were not in Christ. They were near him, but they weren't in him. Are we in Christ? How in Christ are we this morning? Freedom is in Christ every day. I don't wake up thinking, what an awful life. What an awful existence. The world is such a wicked place. Woe is me. Too far. Too far from Christ. Too far. Too far. God, help me be in you. Be in me. God, help me get closer. Be in you. Because true freedom is in Christ. That's what will deliver us from all those things that we just mentioned. That's what Jesus preached, this kind of deliverance. Are you free indeed this morning? John chapter 8 and verse 31, we also read that text, and there's a verse in there. Are you free indeed this morning? Are you in Christ? Verse 32 said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And another place, verse 36, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Because it's not a fake freedom, it's not just free from things, but it's free in something. See, we can get to the place where we can say, our freedom is from things. My freedom is defined from things. That's an outward orientation against things. That's an outward orientation against things. That's where my freedom comes from. I'm not like them. You see, the Pharisee in the temple that said, I'm not like that publican, he thought his freedom was, I'm not like that. See, a Christian can get to the place where they say, I thank God I am not like that sinner. That's not where our freedom comes from. That leaves a person negative. That leaves a person falsely judgmental. That leaves a person not in Christ. That leaves a person actually from Christ. And that's not where our freedom comes from. Our freedom will protect us from what is evil, but it will protect us not because our orientation is from that, but because it is in him. Amen. See, now we're deeper into the Word of God. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. It's not a false freedom. Mm-hmm. A false freedom still allows you to follow vanity, to follow meaninglessness, to follow selfish motives, to be unkind, to be merciless, to be unthankful, to be unforgiving. A false freedom allows you to still be all those things. And you're not free. You're still in Egypt. When we're a prisoner of Christ, we are not free to follow those things. If I'm a prisoner in Christ, I am not free to be unkind. I am not free to be unforgiving. I am not free to be merciless when I'm a prisoner of Christ. He is my jailer. That might offend you, but that is the relationship. I am completely within his control. I don't have the key to the jail door. He does. I am not free to go out into the world and partake of the vanity of the world. I'm not free to do that. I'm bought with a price. He is mine. I am his. He is in me. I am in him. If I'm truly free, I'm not free to do those things. It puts it in a different perspective, doesn't it? It's not that, well, we can't do that because they say. Well, we can't do this or we can't do that because this or that. No, no, no. I cannot do that because I am a prisoner of Christ. Now, you will be able to do some things if you're not his prisoner. We have to strengthen how we see ourselves in the relationship with Christ this year. We don't do things because they say. Or we don't not do things because they say. What we do or what we don't do is because we are a prisoner of Christ. Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. I am his slave. And when we have that relationship, I will truly be free. True freedom is in something, not from something. All right. Now the last thing is, there is a freedom from Christ. It's also a freedom. It's like the first in that it permits us to follow a certain path, but it follows a destructive path. Freedom from Christ. Freedom in Christ leaves us as a prisoner of Christ. Freedom from Christ actually sets us free from Christ. And freedom from Christ is the bondage of Egypt. It's the bondage of sin. It promises to set you free just like the other. There is a way of thinking today that says, you know, church is just a set of rules. It's created by men. And what God really wants for you is to be free from that. He wants you to be able to worship Christ in your way, as you see fit, free from the rules of organized religion, free from entanglements. Actually, freedom for you is freedom to be you. Freedom, whatever you think, there's a lot of you here, right? However you see you, that's true freedom. That's what you ought to pursue. And people will say, you know, I went to church for many years, and it just seemed like a bunch of rules, and I never felt truly free. But when I got out of that place, and I'm not talking about a place that God would ordain, or let me back up. I'm not talking about a place that God would not ordain. I'm talking about a place that God would have us to be. People say, when I got out of that place, I felt truly free. I felt freer than I'd ever felt. People say that. Their identity is confused according to the Word of God. Not my opinion, but according to the Word of God, the identity at that point is confused. The identity in freedom is confused. That identity is actually finding its freedom from something. And biblically, we're trying to find our identity in something. One leads to bondage, actually. The another frees us from bondage. And that's the way the world sees it. And many see it today, is that these rules, they're just entanglements. They want to make you a clone. And true freedom is to be free from all that. Really what self is doing, self is saying to be truly free, I need self to be truly, what governs my choice. Self governs my choice. What makes me free? What makes me feel good? What makes where I find my identity is not, my identity is not in Jesus, and it is not in the body of Jesus, but my identity now is in myself. And there's even a religious way of thinking about this. My identity is in myself. And the religious way of thinking is, well, we want to feed you. We want to make you whole. We want you to feel good. That's where you should find your identity. It is not in losing some of your identity in that image of collapsing into Christ, losing your identity into Christ. That's not where that way of thinking goes. It says it's just a bunch of rules. It's just a bunch of do's and don'ts. People getting confused today about what produces real freedom. If collapsing into Jesus, and I said the other day, sort of abandoning yourself or falling into Jesus, right? If that produces true freedom, then I'm actually losing some of myself in Christ. Now look, when our existence is threatened by illness or death, because ultimately the thing that scares most people the most is not what comes after death, it's death. That's what really scares most people the most, is dying. And when that kind of existence is threatened, believe me, I wish I could help all of us understand this, you're going to want to find yourself in Christ. You're not going to want to find yourself having created this own identity for yourself. That's so weak. It's so vulnerable. It's so threatened. You spent all this time sort of creating this whole you. People come to me and they say, brother, I just feel like I'm running out of gas. I'm so tired and just hard for me, so burdened by being a part of a body of Christ. Brother, I just need to get out. I just need to find myself. I just need to take time for myself. I hear a lot of myself in that. And the reason a person feels like that is because the only way, the biblical plan of true freedom, is you abandon self into Christ. But self wants its own way. That's not a natural thing for self to do, is to abandon yourself into Christ. We have to die. That's not something that's fearful for most of us, is to be willing to die. But that's exactly what God wants from us if he's going to free us. I think this is where the work of God that changes our nature really makes sense. Because the nature of us that fights against this process, this need for us to collapse into Christ, the nature that fights against that is our human nature. And God has a remedy for that. And his remedy is the power of the Holy Spirit that dominates our nature, that consumes our nature. And we ask him, we say, Lord, let your Holy Spirit consume my nature, so that I have the ability now to find myself in Christ. Because otherwise, your nature will fight against this. It'll be hard for you. And ultimately, it will fight so hard, it will want you to break from Christ. Because I tell you, to be close, to be that close to Christ, this is not a fleshly walk. This is not a carnal walk. This is not a selfish walk, to be this kind of close to Christ. Self has to get out of the way to be this close. The closer we are moving into Christ, the greater our freedom. into him. Doesn't the gospel make sense? Freedom. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. This is the last scripture. Yes. It is. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I find my identity in a freedom that actually requires me to lose myself. And I find my liberty and my freedom in moving toward into something. Now, if I say my freedom is moving into Christ, he also has a body of believers. He tells us so. That lets me know I need to have some identity of myself in the body of Christ. I need to see part of my identity and my freedom in the body of Christ. And not free from the body of Christ, but free in the body of Christ. And we're supposed to stand fast in that place because there's liberty there, and that's where our true freedom is. So this message this morning was about two kinds of freedom. One is a freedom to commit sin and to be in the bondage of Egypt, and the other is the freedom to find ourselves in Christ and to lose that kind of freedom. Each of those freedoms is going to lend us, it's going to direct us in one of two ways. Either it will take us to destruction, or it will take us to true liberty. Where we need to find ourselves this morning is, are we in bondage or are we free? Truly. Not do I have a belief, not have I grown up, but am I in bondage of sin this morning? His remedy for that is that we should say, thank you. You've located me. I thought I was truly free, but I can see that truly I'm yet in Egypt. And therefore, I desire to be held, to be free from the captivity of that Egypt. And so we say, he tells us, confess with our lips and believe with our heart. I was a captive to sin. I desire to be free in Christ. And that's a decision we can make this morning. But we cannot simply go on with our lives in the captivity or the bondage of sin and say, I am truly free. We might believe in God, but when we go out there, we do things, we believe things that leave us in captivity. God has something better than that for you. And this morning, you have the choice to be free, to go in a different direction. Let's stand.